I want you to take your printout as we begin. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Now you'll notice Jesus is going to have a very serious, in-depth, spiritual conversation with the disciples. He has seated himself. He's ready to teach. And when Jesus Christ gets ready to teach, I think we ought to listen. He always has something important to say. So Jesus answers the disciples' questions. And you know what? He's still answering our questions. We have the same questions the disciples had back then. And yet we still don't have that satisfying answer that we think we ought to have. A lot of us want to know when exactly things are going to happen. Jesus says, don't be concerned about it. Don't worry about it. The thing you need to be concerned about is when things get hard and times are troublesome, stand your ground. Know what you believe. Be sure you have a correct knowledge of the Word of God. And then pray for wisdom that you can take your knowledge and put it into practical application. Introduction, verse 3. While Jesus was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, which are learners of Jesus Christ, came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this destruction of the temple take place? And what will be the sign of your coming? And of the end, the completion, the consummation, or the fullness of the age?" What age are we in now? We're in the age of grace. When did that begin?
Pentecost.
When will it end? The rapture. So Jesus is seated. He's ready to teach. The disciples come to him privately and say, "Tell us, when will this destruction of the temple take place?" They're very interested in that. "And what will be the sign of your coming? When will you be present with us again? And of the end, that is the completion, the consummation of the age." And here we go. Jesus answers their two questions, when and what, by explaining that the coming destruction of Jerusalem's sacred mount will not be the end of the world. What the disciples thought to be one event, they thought everything was going to happen simultaneously. Jesus says, not so. Jesus taught to be two separate events. There will be two judgments at two different times in history. There will be a local judgment in A.D. 70. And most of you have been taught about this. And then, in parentheses, after an unspecified period of time, do you see Jesus is not interested in giving you the exact time? There will be another judgment, a final worldwide judgment on the last day. Let me go back. The next big event in the age of grace is the rapture. The rapture will end the age of grace. The rapture will begin the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ is coming back all the way down to planet Earth. He will deal with the ungodly, the unbelievers. Then will begin the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he going to rule with a rod of iron? You know why? Because in the millennium, and please understand this, those believers that survive the 7-year tribulation period, and not all believers will. Many will be killed for their faith and testimony of Christ. But those that survive will step into the millennial, where the lion will lay down with the lamb. And children will play with what I call East Texas water moccasins, copperheads. Everything's going to be tame at that moment during that 1,000 years. Since those entering the millennial will enter it in a physical body like you have, and the millennial will have believers only entering it, okay? Then when babies are born, they will receive an old sin nature because you still have your fleshly body as you do now. They will grow up in an environment where Jesus Christ in His resurrection body and we as believers of the church age are going to come back with Him when He comes back all the way to the earth. We will rule and reign with Him. The Word of God will go out to all nations. But not everybody will receive the Word of God and believe in Jesus Christ as salvation. So in the millennial, even though Jesus Christ is going to be right here in His resurrected, glorified body, you would think everybody would fall at His feet. That won't happen. Christianity will not be automatic in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So the 1,000 years go by. And remember, we're talking about nations of people. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, Jesus Christ is going to deal with the unbelievers of that 1,000-year reign. They will stand as every unbeliever that has ever been born will stand at the great white throne judgment, the last judgment. You can cry. You can get on your knees and beg, "Let me have another opportunity, please, Jesus Christ. If you'll give me just one more shot at it, I'll turn and I'll believe in you and receive you as my personal Lord and Savior." And the answer will be no. You will be cast into the lake of fire in a body that fire cannot consume. You will experience a torment that human words cannot describe. It will be forever and forever and forever. It is hard for me to imagine any human being that would want to spend an eternity in the lake of fire, tormented forever and ever and ever. And the flames are lapping at your body that it cannot consume, but the pain is going to be unbearable. Today, Jesus says, is the day to look at yourself honestly and understand, I'm a human being in need of Jesus Christ, for I cannot pay my sin debt in full. When you're saved by grace, you're saved by something only God can do that you cannot do for yourself. Saved by grace is receiving Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. What does it say in John once again? No man cometh unto the Father but through the Son. Salvation is having a relationship with the Father and a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus answers, there's two questions. When and what? By explaining that the coming destruction of Jerusalem, it's coming. How do you handle it? The sacred mount will not be the end of the world, they thought it would. What the disciples thought to be one event, Jesus taught to be two separate events. There will be two judgments at two different times in history. There will be a local judgment in AD 70, and then after an unspecified period of time, only the Father knows. there will be another judgment, a final worldwide judgment on the last day. So what makes this prophecy difficult is determining which details belong to the destruction of the temple and which belong to the return of Jesus Christ. Here's the point. The closer event, the destruction of the temple, symbolizes the coming event, the end of the world. We've had the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, General Titus. I've never looked at it this way, but I see it now. Since that judgment came upon the temple, AD 70, that was a finger pointing to the certainty of the judgment that is coming at the end of the world. The destruction of the temple triggered with certainty. It can't be any other way, that last judgment that is coming. So you look at the temple in a whole lot different way when you talk about the judgment of the temple in AD 70. Now verse 4, Jesus answered, "Be careful that no one," underline no one, and I'm going to give you a few names that you're familiar with. There are a whole lot of other names. "Be careful that no one," David Koresh, "come into your church, come through your television into your home, come unto you, for he was a false Messiah. Be careful that no one," Charles Manson, "come into your church, through your TV, into your home, into your schools, anywhere that you are, and spew his ideology, spew his homegrown theology. Don't let someone like that stay in your local assembly. If they ever come in and they begin to identify themselves in ways that are contrary to the Word of God, like these men have done, make sure you escort them out." And somebody's going to say, "Well, Terry, I think we need to handle this in a real Christian way." I agree. Smile as you escort them out. Amen. Politely. Then there is Jim Jones. He started out pretty good, I understand. Then the devil began to work in his mind, and Jim could not handle that. He surrendered to it. And we all know the story of Jim Jones. And there are others that have been there. There are others that are coming. In fact, the Greek says a great, great number of them are coming. So he says to the local assembly all over the world, the body of Christ, believers in Jesus Christ, get ready. Get your heart ready. Get your mind ready. And be able to confront it and handle it as I have told you to. We don't embrace it. We will not tolerate it in any form or fashion. It comes in, it's got to go. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Be careful that no one misleads. Underline the word misleads. The word misleads means to deviate from the right path. Can I ask you something? How do you know you're on the right path? Because when somebody comes to you with false teaching, they're going to say they're on the right path. Do you know enough of the Word of God to stand there in a conversation and begin to speak Scripture, the Rhema Word, unto them? Do you know enough of absolute truth and absolute reality that the Bible has given you in everything from Genesis to the book of Revelation? Can you stand your ground? There's nothing more embarrassing, especially than a good old Baptist when confronted by a Mormon, and that's a cult, and others out there that are cults, and they can't hold their ground. They can't carry on a conversation with them when they begin to talk about Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Bible? Be careful that no one misleads. Deviate from the right path. To be led away from the truth. They say a whole lot of Baptists are being led away from the Baptist church into Jehovah's Witness and Mormonism. Here's another one. The word mislead is the word planero in the Greek. The word mislead is the word planero. It is a root from where we get our English word planet. You ever said this, Danny, to somebody that's not all there? Man, what planet did you come from? That's legit. The word mislead, planero. In other words, make sure you're on the right planet when it comes to the Word of the living God. Don't let somebody pull you off the planet of God's Word and put you on the planet of false teaching and false messiahs. Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. Here's a note. Deception will become rampant in the last days. Deception will become rampant in the last days. When you turn on the TV now and listen to... And you got it in Republicans too, and Democrats. I'm not saying all Democrats are like this. I'm not saying all Republicans are like this. When you listen to the deception and the hypocrisy and flat out lying to the public through the TV, makes you mad, doesn't it? And do you think it's going to get better?
No.
No. Will the gap get bigger between Republicans and Democrats? You know what's happening, don't you? Good versus evil in Washington. That's what's taking place. Mr. President, it's not about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. There is a spiritual warfare going on in Washington, D.C., and it's been going on for a long, long time. All right? Deception will become rampant. It's not going to get any better in the last days. Multitudes of people will be deceived as they look for stability and direction in difficult times. Is that happening right now? Is that what we're seeing in Washington? We're looking for stability and direction in difficult times. And guess what? In 2020, these progressive liberals and those further left, and a lot of Republicans that are really liberal and don't admit it, they're going to cast a vote. And it may be something that you and I thought would never happen. A progressive liberal, a Muslim that's been elected to the Senate, anti-Israel, Sharia law. Why? Why have we become scared in America to say no to the Muslim faith? It's not okay, we'll embrace it. It's not okay, we'll tolerate it. It's just a flat out no. Well, you can't involve God in politics. I got news for you. It began with God. And He's right in the middle of it. Is that correct? If God was here in the flesh, He would say no to the false religions and ideology that has been allowed to come into the United States of America. It's not let's tolerate. It's not, well, we can embrace them. It's not, oh, it's politically correct. You don't find that in the Word of God.
Amen.
You have a right to say, no, not here in America.
Amen.
And it needs to start in the church.
Yep.
Number one, under four. Jesus says, see to it. Take heed. Learn to look beyond the physical to the spiritual side of things, right? The whole purpose of this discourse, Jesus says, is not to gratify curiosity. How many people love to come to a study of Revelation? I'll have more here than I have other times. Oh, Terry, it gets me all giddy. Boy, I get excited. We're talking about Revelation. Remember, singular, not plural. I love to hear it. I love to hear it. Well, you know why it's there? Not because you love to hear it, because Jesus says, make sure you're firmly planted in the Word of God. Because this stuff is coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it, the things He's bringing. There are things we can do, but there are things that He's bringing. You can't stop it. He's coming with judgment, and you read in the 7-year tribulation period, and what He's bringing is going to be a hell on earth. The whole purpose of this discourse, Jesus says, is not to gratify curiosity, but to guard against deception and terror. How many, you may have somebody in your family that comes to your house, and as soon as they sit down and get a cup of coffee in front of them, they just, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to make it. I just can't believe it. Oh Lord, they're going to hit that button and you know we're going to get nuked and all this good stuff. Let me tell you something, you ain't going to be nuked. Jesus has got control of it.
Amen.
He's going to bring it all to an end just like He said He would. Okay? Thank you. Keep a cool head and a brave heart. The disciples want to know the future. But Jesus directs them to what? There you go. You know what Jesus is saying, really? You'll do good to handle the present. Forget the future. He said, I got your future. I got your future. Doesn't He say in Ephesians, I'm already in Jesus Christ. I'm already seated in the heavenlies. So Jesus says, you live for the present until I take you home. Don't worry about the future. I got it. Right, Paul? There you go, buddy. Okay. Verse 5. For many, underline the word many. The word many in the Greek means high in number, great in amount. Woo! More than you want to see, more than you want to hear. For many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, and they will mislead many. Don't go to page 2. Three quick points under verse 5. Number one, false messiahs will come with persuasive powers. False messiahs will come with persuasive powers. Number two, this verse reveals the spiritual vacuum of fallen man. It will be easy for someone without Christ to receive that which is false. The vacuum in them will suck it in. Number three, this shows how naive new believers and carnal Christians will be to the deception. Page 2. Top of page 2, there is the advent of false messiahs. The ruin of Jerusalem and the nation will come through revolt against Rome. And the deepest cause of revolt will be the messianic hope as popularly understood. You got to go back to the Bible days, okay? Understand where He's at. There will be great outburst of messianic fanaticism. They have rejected the true spiritual Christ. The aim of the popular messianic hope was what? Independence. Give us our independence as Jews and do away with Rome and we'll love you. Here we go. And all leaders of movements having that goal in view came in the name of Christ. Example number one, in the years preceding the Jewish revolt in AD 66, there arose several messianic pretenders. Number two, the political Christ, leaders of the war against Rome, deceived the bulk of the people. Jesus says, stay away from the movement. Do not sympathize with it in any way. Verse 6. You will... Who's he talking to with you? I want you to make sure you get this. Who's he talking to? Who is he having a little conversation with? The disciples. You. Because a lot of people like to throw this completely into the future. He's telling the disciples, I'm telling you what's coming in your future pretty near. You. You will continually hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. The word frightened means it's a present passive imperative. He says, if you are scared now, then stop being scared right now. How many Christians are running scared? But what if China does this? What if Russia does this? What if Iran does this? Have you not read your Bible? Jesus says, don't worry about them. I've got it all under control. And if you're really a Christian and you believe the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is really your Lord and Savior, what do you have to worry about? Nothing. You know what scares most Christians in church today? They're afraid it's going to get really bad during their lifetime, and they're going to be in the thick of it, and they're going to have to make a real decision. Am I going to stay in church? Am I going to run out of church? Am I going to stay with the Lord even though it may cost me a job and other opportunities? Do you see what's out there? Jesus says, let me tell you beforehand and get these thoughts and feelings out of your mind. You will continually hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things, famines, earthquakes, false messiahs, must take place. But that is not yet the end of the age. Number one, you will hear of wars, ethnic and territorial, near and remote, actual and threatened. Number two, this is a reference to wars only in the Holy Land. Please understand. Arising from messianic fanaticisms, messianic hopes, misdirected, therefore, wars to ruin. Is Satan good at misdirecting the Word of God? When did he really get started with that? In the Garden of Eden? He was talking to a woman. Is that correct? Okay. Where was the husband? He was right there, right? Okay, he's hearing this also. So Satan knows the Word of God probably better than any Christian alive. Okay? And he knows how to work it. He knows how to worm it. He knows how to misguide things, but yet at the same time keeping it believable. Well, Terry, I don't need to go to church and I don't need to go to Bible study. And that's why you're the dumb Christian. That's why you say, golly, what am I going to do? The sky's falling. You know what? You see no concern about the Word of God. You better get concerned about it. Amen. Look at the word here. It's future. This word points to the future, meaning you will be about to hear by and by, not for a while, but it's coming. There will be delusive times of peace before tragic times of war. The Antichrist, he'll come with a false peace, correct? Last for 3.5 years. Then the next 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, all hell breaks loose and they see him for who he is. It's coming. be not alarmed. Do not be troubled by what is coming. God is sovereign. You don't have this. And He will bring history to its final conclusion as He has ordained. God said, I'll tell you how it's all going to happen. And I got it right here. So don't fret. Do not be scared out of your wits. Do not cry aloud. Do not scream. Do not be terrified. You don't have to buy macaroni that lasts for 100 years. That wasn't on the deal. You know, a lot of people say, man, I got to go buy all this food. Got to get a storm shelter, right? The greatest storm shelter you got is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the greatest food you'll ever have is, there you go. Number two, let this information I give you be a sedative. I tell you what, people in church, there's a lot of them need a spiritual sedative, don't they? Well, you know what? Matthew chapter 24 in the book of Revelation is the best sedative you're ever going to get for living the Christian life. Calm, cool, and collected while everybody is running around like chickens with their head cut off. Let this information I give... Now notice the word I. Would you kind of circle that? I. It's not anybody gives you. It's the information Jesus gives you. I give you be a sedative, and for the rest, it's word rest, R-E-S-T. Remember that the beginning of the tragedy is not the end. The end being the thing inquired about, the destruction of the temple, and all that went along with it. The destruction of the temple triggered the coming of the final age. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for keeping us straight. For we can take Your word that You give us, put it in our minds, and it gives us the direction and stability that we need in difficult times. And difficult times are coming. We've seen a lot of them, but the worst is yet to come. So it's not going to get any better. But don't let it ruin your life as a Christian. God is sovereign. God is in control even when it doesn't look like He is. He is. We see a big mess. He doesn't see it that way. He just sees His work being done. And you know what? It doesn't matter what Pelosi or Schumer or any Republicans that go liberal. They're not going to change God's direction. Because God, in eternity past, already knew about this mess today. It's not new to Him. He's already planned for it. And He's way ahead of the game. Thank You for loving us, being truthful with us, giving us this absolute truth and absolute reality. Now help us to understand it and to live by it and to share it until we die or until the rapture comes. Who knows? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.